good to be here. I can just sit and sing all night. It's a blessing to be able to sing like that. It's good to be here. My wife couldn't be here with me. She's out in Indiana taking care of her mom this week, so it's pretty well 24/7 care, so it has quite a load on them. Her and Hannah are out there, so I was asked tonight how to engage people. I'm sure there's others here who have lots of experience too, and so let's just start with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we bow our hearts here before you, Lord, and we just pray that you would take these few words and minister to each one of our hearts tonight, Lord. Lord, that we would most of all just get your burden, Lord, that you have. Father, we commit this evening into your hand and pray that you would quicken your word, fill us with your spirit to, Lord, without your word, quickening your word, Lord, it's just no other words. But Lord, we just ask that you would quicken your word with your spirit and give it life, that it may go into our hearts and bring forth life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Jesus' burden for coming to this earth was for lost souls. That's the whole reason he came. And so, if we have his spirit within us, that should automatically be a part of us. We should also have that same burden. So, because that was his burden. And the scripture says in Romans chapter 8, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And so that can go in many ways, but that's in one area. So tonight, I'm going to address this subject of evangelism in three different areas. First of all, I'm going to be sharing obstacles that hinder us from going. Obstacles that hinder us from going. You know, those might be some of our thinking pattern, things contrary to what we've been taught. And the second area that I'm going to address is methods of evangelism that are found in the Bible. And then the third subject I want to address is becoming practical. So first of all, we need to address things in our own lives and our own hearts. I've found when I'm out there preaching, and if I have failed, maybe it was some words not quite said right, in a right tone, the Lord always brings them to my remembrance as I'm out there preaching, and so it's important to be out there with as you're sharing, with a clear heart, because Romans chapter 2 talks about that, thou that preaches you should not steal, do you commit things, and so forth. So the first obstacle that I'm going to be looking at here is, I'm going to ask a question. Is it important to keep the commandments of God? Is it important? I think we would all say yes, right? Is it important? How many of you believe the commandment to go, or when Jesus says to go into all the world, is a commandment? It's a commandment in the Bible it's easy to overlook. And so I just want to go through the scriptures here real quickly and lay that obstacle out in front of you that hinders many. They don't see it as a commandment. And I'm going to be reading a couple verses in Matthew chapter 28. It's a very familiar passage, 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So his last words, you know, someone who's dying, we put a lot of value on their last words, what they're telling us. And here was his last words from before he was departing into the heavens. He says, go. But I want to back up to Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to skip through this chapter a little bit. Matthew chapter 10 is where Jesus chose his 12 disciples. And jumping in at verse 5, I'm going to read from verse 5 through 7. These 12 Jesus sent forth and what? Commanded them, it says. Commanded them. Notice that word, because this word's going to be important later on. Some of the apostles are going to reference back to this very, very teaching here that Jesus gave them here. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go. Here we see the word go again. Verse 5, we saw go. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he's commanding them to go. This, and I want you to notice this whole chapter is in the context of going. Things that are going to happen to them as they go. He's trying to build up courage in their hearts and minds. So this whole chapter is addressing this subject. I don't have time to read the whole chapter. Verse 32 and 33, I'm going to jump down to there. It says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men. Again, he's addressing going and sharing the gospel. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny my Father which is in heaven. That's serious. If we're going to deny him before men and not share with him, my Father also in heaven will also deny before my Father in heaven. We stand before God on the day of judgment. Jesus Christ, you know, God's going to ask Jesus, did he deny you before men? What's Jesus going to say, yes or no? And so it's important. And 38 and 39, again, it says, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. So this whole chapter, he's addressing many different subjects, what's going to happen. And we're going to come back a little bit later and pick out some more verses. And he shares this whole chapter on going. And now look at chapter 11, verse 1. And it says, and it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in their cities. He made an end of commanding them. This whole chapter is in the context of going and sharing the gospel, and he made an end of commanding them. And so, with that in mind, let's jump over to Acts chapter 10. The Apostle Peter is preaching there at Cornelius, and the Apostle Peter acknowledges this commandment that we just read here in Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, Acts 10, 42. I'm going to jump into Peter's middle of his sermon. It says, and he, who's he? Jesus Christ commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be judge of quick and dead. He commanded us. And then we're going to also jump over to see what the Apostle Paul has to say about this commandment in Titus chapter 1. I think this is an obstacle that many of us face. You know, we lift up the commandments of God, which are good and right, but a lot of people miss this one. Titus chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Paul says, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So again, here we have the Apostle Peter referencing back to Matthew chapter 10. He's referencing to the commandment that Jesus Christ gave. And then we jump over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul's addressing Timothy with this commandment. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 12 through 14. He says, fight the good fight of faith. We often hear this verse, but it's in the context of sharing the gospel again. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So Paul is encouraging Timothy, continue fighting. I know you have professed a good profession before many witnesses. You're doing a good job, he tells him. And then in verse 13, Paul gives an example of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. He's bringing in how Jesus Christ was bold and was not ashamed of the gospel when he stood before Pilate. Now look at verse 14. He says, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, James tells us that we should keep ourselves unspotted from the world. But here, Paul's encouraging Timothy, you keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Has the Lord Jesus Christ returned yet? So whose turn is it now to keep this commandment without spot? It's us today. And so I just wanted to lay that groundwork. You know, here's an obstacle I think a lot of people don't see. They don't see it as a commandment. It's not for me. It's not my gift. But it is a commandment. And by the end of the message, I want to hope that you will see it's for every one of us. Young, old, if you're a Christian. And then the second obstacle that many people face is we need to deal with fear. Fear has a tendency to creep up. 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 7. We're all familiar with this verse. It says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Again, this verse is in the context of sharing the gospel. And we're going to jump back here in a little bit to Matthew chapter 10. And Jesus addresses fear over and over in Matthew chapter 10. Verse 8, he says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and teacher of the Gentiles. Notice verse 12 here. He says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." So Paul says he's not ashamed, and he's encouraging Timothy not to fear, not to be ashamed as he preaches and shares the gospel. If you want to, you can turn back to Matthew chapter 10. Jesus addresses this issue. Again, this whole chapter is in the context of going. Verse 26, he says, "Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye up on the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul, body, and hell." You know, there's times, especially out in the open air, you have to guard against fear. You know, there's many things that can happen. You know, I've been hit, we've been spit on, food thrown on us, and many different things. I've been threatened to be arrested. You know, there's been times, several of us were surrounded probably by 20 officers to protect us because the crowd got that angry. And so we have to guard against fear. And yeah, that one time we were surrounded by officers, and there was people as far as we could see in every direction. There was no getting out. And so, and at that time, that day, Benji Grant was with us too, and it so happened he was preaching at the time. A lot of times the officers are for us. They recognize that what we preach helps their job. And so it's good to have a relationship with them. In Columbus, you know, we know quite a few of the officers, and we have a good relationship with them. And so, and he told Benji that day, he says, "Preach, buddy, you have your crowd." And they were protecting us. So Benji don't need much encouragement. So he's addressing fear. And then he goes on to say, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? One of them shall not fall on the ground without your father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. So Paul addressed Timothy here with the issue of fear. Jesus addresses it in this whole chapter. And so fear has a tendency to creep up on us. Every time, sometimes have you ever been there? You want to go share, but something's holding you back. The Lord has a person in mind, even one-on-one, and something's, it's a little bit of fear. Oh, how's he going to receive it? What's going to happen? What's he going to say? Well, but we need to learn to just overcome that and open up our mouth. And God, and when we open up our mouth, at that point, God's power begins to flow through us. Remember that verse says, "But God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and sound mind." Jesus says, "All power is given unto me." When God sees a willing vessel, I've experienced this. As soon as I say the first word, my whole body relaxes, and I feel the power of God flowing through. And so we cannot succumb to fear, but we need to be able to override it and experience the power of God. So I want to encourage you, don't let the obstacle of fear, because that keeps many men and women from obeying this commandment that Jesus Christ has set forth, that the Apostle Paul and Peter set lifted up. And then the third obstacle that I want to look at, as Anabaptist people, they have the name to them that they are the quiet of the land, and I've heard this saying already, let your light shine, speak words if necessary. It is important that we let our light shine, but I also want to encourage you, the scripture exhorts us to speak. In Acts chapter 5, verse 18, I'm going to turn there. This is a powerful verse. Acts 5, verse 18. Here's where Peter and the apostles are put in prison, and the angel, I'll start reading verse 18. And the authorities, the Sadducees, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, now look what the angel said. Go, there's the commandment that we read about. Stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life, all the words of Jesus Christ. This was a message that God's angel brought down. Go, stand, and speak. And Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Look what... Here they just got out of prison again, and they're having a prayer meeting, the apostles. And look what they say. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. So they spake. They prayed that God would enable them to speak. We, as born-again believers, we need to be willing to speak. We need to use our tongue for the glory of God. And so that's another obstacle that many people face. Before I was converted, and I'm still not a big speaker, but I would have never thought, you know, I'd be someday out and being able to share the gospel. But it's just something that kind of naturally flows for me. And so I would encourage you, if God sees a willing vessel, it's like he told Moses, you know, who made you? God's able to make you to speak and use you if you want to be used and if you have a heart to obey. So those are the three obstacles that many people face. And so fear and not seeing it as a commandment and not willing to speak. It's easy to speak to your friends, but to speak to people you don't know is a little bit different challenge. And so with that, that's the three obstacles. And the next thing I'm going to jump into, there are three different methods of evangelism mentioned in the Bible. And I like them all three, because the reason I say that, because Jesus made it so all Christians can obey this commandment. And so we are without excuse. He made so fathers, mothers, teenagers, if you're a born-again believer, that surely you can use one of these three methods and to share the gospel. The first one that I'm going to mention is two by two, going from door to door, house to house, knocking on doors. Jesus sent his disciples out two by two, sharing the gospel. The second method is one-on-one. Jesus is with the woman at the well sharing the gospel, and she came to let her to himself. And then the third method is open air. On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, you have the apostles preaching and 5,000 souls get saved. A little bit later in Acts, they're preaching and 3,000 get saved. Jesus spoke 5,000 men without women and children. He was in a boat, and many times he used the open air to preach the gospel. And so those are the three different methods that we find in this, I find in the scripture of sharing the gospel, one-on-one and two-by-two and open air. And so I'm just going to want to move on, and I'm going to go through each one of these methods and try to make it practical for us and hopefully to encourage you. I know a lot of people today are using also social media today to try to share the gospel, but it's nothing like one using the biblical methods either. So, I mean, I'm sure there's other ways that we can share, and so I'm not going to downplay any of them, but I just want to lift up the ones that we find in the scripture. So I'm going to start with the first one, going two by two, and to make it practical. So the first thing that we need to do with this is go, right? That's the first thing. We need to go. I mean, it's kind of impossible to, and so in order to go, you're going to need to set prioritize your life. You're going to need to set aside some time to go, and I'm just going to share some of my experience in doing this two by two. For about 2 years solid there, another brother and I, we went two by two in our community, Martinsburg area and surrounding areas. We went two by two on Saturday afternoons for about 2 to 3 hours. And we would just go and share the gospel with people. You know, we this summer we have enjoyed many things from our garden, but in order to enjoy the fruits of it, we had to go out there and plant before we could reap. And somehow, it seems the church wants to reap today without planting. And we need to be willing to plant. We need to get out there and get dirty. And, you know, it doesn't work in our gardens in the natural, and it's not going to work in the spiritual realm either, that we have a reaping. And we did reap. As we went out, you know, God promises his word will not return unto him void. There's six individuals just that I can think of that came to repentance and faith and were baptized through the two by two going from house to house. And Sister Kay, she comes here. She's one of them, actually. And so, how do I approach a house? As we, Jesus, first of all, I want to, you know, lay this out. Jesus always took the natural and turned it into the spiritual. For example, the parable of the sower, the parable of the tares. He always took a natural illustration and that he could turn to share spiritual things with. And so as we would approach a house, we would be, our eyes would be open. We'd look for something that we could open up discussion at their place. For example, some places had nice flower beds, flower gardens, but in the middle of that flower garden, they had a sign with a Bible verse on it or something. And so we'd walk up to the door and knock, and someone would come to the door, and we'd introduce our names, just give our first name, and then just proceed. You have a nice flower garden here. And I really like that Bible verse that's in that poster on the flower garden. What do you think? What do you think about that verse? And then just proceed from there to share the gospel with them. And you can take it and turn it and to a spiritual conversation pretty easy without being threatening. And that's one example. If you exercise your mind in that way, you know, you'll get really, really well at it. And then another example, sometimes we show up at a place and the man would be out in the field planting corn. That's a perfect one there. And you can't get it any better than that. I remember one time walking out to the field and he's sitting on the corn planter and we picked up a seed and we introduced ourselves and picked up a seed and started to share in the natural how it needs to die so it can grow, and then just proceeded to share the Word of God, how Jesus used that phrase, and proceed to share the gospel with him. And so Jesus did this all the time throughout the scriptures. And so you'd walk up to the house to look for something natural to start conversation. You can turn it to the spiritual. And I want to encourage us here, as I was preparing and thinking about this, I just get a big picture in my mind. What would happen here if every brother and even sisters here at Faith would just commit 2 hours on a Saturday afternoon to do that? You are spread out far enough, a large community, that you could map out your own area and you could pretty well cover all the counties just committing 2 hours every Saturday afternoon. And as you go, you know, be sensitive, don't overstay, leave some seed and ask them to think about it, and then journal your visit so you can go back in about 2 weeks and pick up on your conversation where you left off and add a little bit more water to the seed. And as the two of you travel together, you can bounce ideas off of each other and pray together, and you'd be surprised what would happen. You'd be surprised, because there's two things that you can expect. You can expect a reaping, but you'll also expect some backlash and persecution. In those 2 years, it got to the point that that the ministers were telling them, the church, if those two men show up the door, don't go out. Just stay hid. And so, but that's good. You know, the gospel is getting, talk is good. That helps spread the fire. I experienced that in my own personal testimony, that talk helps spread the fire. And even today, you know, my wife goes to stores and things, and, you know, in the local community sometimes, and she can go for about half a dozen times, and then pretty soon they, are you John Lonaker's wife? You can't come here. So, you know, you get to be well known in your community because you're the one that shared the gospel. You know, just about a week and a half ago, my daughter Sarah had a lady question her out, you know, if who we are. And so it's important that people know that we're Christians in our neighborhood. And so I want to encourage you to find a brother you can yoke up with and go two by two. Just commit a Saturday afternoon. It don't have to be long, 2 hours. And you can cover a lot of ground in your area. You're a wide enough circle. You won't be trampling or doing the same doors. But I would encourage you to do that. Actually, I think the two by two would go well with what the church is planning on doing in the Bargain Hunter, with putting those messages out. It would go very well. And financially, it's not going to cost you much, just a little gas. It would go very well. And people will soon connect. This is the same people that have this ad in the Bargain Hunter. Or you can even point people there if they want to listen or they want to talk to someone in private. So that's the first method that, I don't know, is that making it practical enough? I hope so. And so we'll move on to the second method. Not everybody is going to be an open-air preacher, but every Christian should at least be able to do this one, one-on-one. Every Christian. You know, at gas stations, stores, out and about, wherever you are in contact with people. When I first got converted, you know, I used tracts, and I still use tracts a lot. You know, if I wasn't not have quite the confidence to share with people when I first got converted, I started out with a lot of tracts, and I still use a lot of tracts. But that's one way to start working up courage, start overcoming fear. Just I would write letters to people to share the gospel. Right after we got converted, I specifically remember we used to celebrate Christmas, which we as a family don't anymore. We have actually convictions against it because of all the worldly things that are involved with it. But the first year or so there, we were still did somewhat. And so I made up my own Christmas cards that we sent. We used to send a lot of Christmas cards up. And it was just simply sharing the gospel with people. And we had some thrown back in our face. There's many ways on one-on-one. And in the Bible, if someone was touched by Jesus Christ and got healed, take the leper, for example, in Mark chapter 1. It says a leper was healed and he published it much and to blaze abroad the matter. Think about that. Published it much and blazed abroad. When you blaze something, I think of a fire blazing something. I mean, there was no stopping the man. He had a story to tell. He had a testimony to share. And so if you've been born again and have the Spirit of God, you have a testimony to share. You have something worthwhile to share. Just simply share your testimony with people. The Apostle Paul, you go through the book of Acts, a couple places, he shared his testimony often. And he, as you read that testimony, you can read his whole testimony in a minute or two, about 2 minutes. And you can get your testimony in condensed in such a way that it's powerful, that you can share it in short order in 2 minutes. You don't need a half hour to share it to a lost person. You don't have to go in all the fine details, but just share what Jesus Christ has done for you. The demonic man in Mark chapter 5, it says he published it in Decapolis. And that word Decapolis actually means 10 cities. The Martin Luther German actually writes it that way. He published it in 10 cities. They don't use the word Decapolis. He published it in 10 cities. And so if you have been born again and touched by Jesus, you should have something to blaze abroad. How do I engage? On one-on-one, I shared tracts or an open door. Ask them if you can give them one. And then from there, if they take it, you can proceed to share the gospel with them. Look also in your conversations, again, how you can turn the natural to the spiritual. Recently, I was talking to a brother, and he said he was dealing with the customer, and as he was there with the customer, every other word was hell. Hell this, hell that. And he said, how could have I shared with him in a non-threatening way? And so I just suggested to him, you can start by saying, you know, the Bible has a lot to say about that word. Can I share with you what it has to say? And, you know, that's a non-threatening way that you can just gently nudge in there, and then you can proceed to share from there as the Lord gives you utterance. It's an open door. When you have words like that, that's an open door. Another brother I was recently talking to, he told me that he's dealing with customer. He takes his young son, and a lot of the people they deal with use a lot of foul language, and when they see his young son, they say, sorry, excuse me, young ears hearing. That's an open door too. You can just say, well, there's other ears hearing. You want to know who? And you can proceed to share that God is hearing. And plus, not only is he hearing, he's writing down every word you speak. The Bible says that we shall give an account for every idle word we speak. And it also says, by our words, on the day of judgment, our words are going to justify us or condemn us. Do you think those words are going to justify you on the day of judgment? Or do you think they'll condemn you? What do you think? And try to bring him to a decision. Make him give you an answer. You know, those are examples, and there's many more. If you train your mind and exercise yourself to look for those gems, those words that you can turn to the spiritual side to make spiritual conversation. Look for statements in your conversation with people that you can turn. It's the best way. But we need to be willing to open our mouth. I've shared this earlier. It's always a battle to say that first word. But once you say that first word, you feel the power of God come in and take a hold, and you will be blessed. You experience the power of God. The third method, Jesus used this method, is the open air. Jesus used this method with the multitudes. Peter and the apostles used this method on the day of Pentecost. 5,000 got saved, 3,000 got saved later. The apostle Paul used this method at Mars Hill in Acts 21. He again used this method. I'm going to turn there in Acts chapter 21, the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Paul used this in Acts chapter 21. Here he went back to Jerusalem, and in the city there, and they came out to kill him, and they wanted to get rid of him. And at that point, the soldiers came and got him out of there. It says they lifted him on his shoulders, and they carried him up the stairs, verse 35 of chapter 21. It says, and when he came up on the stairs, so was it that he was born of the soldiers for the violence of the people. So the soldiers had Paul up here, maybe two, three were carrying up here to get him away from the violence of the people. But you would think Paul, the people were crying, for the multitude of the people followed after, crying, away with him. You would think the apostle Paul would just be glad to get out of there. But what's he do? He sees a high elevated place and thousands of people out here, and he sees an opportunity to start preaching. Verse 37, it says, and as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, may I speak unto thee? Who said, canst thou speak Greek? Art thou not the Egyptian, which before these days made us an uproar and led us out into the wilderness, 4,000 men, and were murderers? But Paul said, I am a man, which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. He saw his opportunity. He was away from the people. He was in an elevated place. He was on top of the stairs, and he asked that he can speak. And when he had given him license, the soldier gave him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people, and they all became silent. We're going to listen what he has to say. And so from chapter 22, verses 1 through 21 is Paul's sermon that he's preaching there on top of the steps. And they gave ear to him until verse 21, and he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience until this word. And They gave him, listened to him until they heard the word Gentiles, and that made him mad. And then they, and look what happened here. Then lifted up their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from earth, for it's not fit that he should live." And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air. Can you, I often wondered at this verse, start tearing off your clothes and picking up dust and just dust flying all over and clothes flying off. I often wondered about that, but you know what? It's still the same today. I've experienced it multiple times. You're out there preaching. People get so upset, they start pulling clothes off. The Bible becomes reality when you, and I just saw, wow, the Bible's true. I've experienced that a couple of times. They were basic, a couple times, yeah, it wasn't fit to be there. They were down to their underwear. They cast their clothes off. And so, just because of the preaching of the word. So there is something behind preaching the word of God. And so, you might ask, well, what do I preach? Well, let's look at Acts chapter 10, verse 42 again. This is the commandment, and this is what the Apostle Peter said that we are commanded to preach, what Jesus commanded. Verse 42, "And he commanded us, he, Jesus, commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead." That's the message, you know, that Jesus Christ is to be the judge of the quick and dead, how he's able to quicken those that are dead, and also he's going to be a judge of the dead when they basically is preaching repentance, faith, and judgment. What did Jesus say, I think, in John chapter 16? He says that preach of sin, or they will be convicted. My mind went blank there right now, but it says of judgment and of sin, and there's three things there that he, John 16, verse 8, "And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Those are the things that Jesus Christ commanded us to preach, of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. You know, of sin and how we can be made righteous, and judgment for those who refuse to repent. And so those are the three things. And the Apostle Peter acknowledges that here in Acts chapter 10, verse 42. You know, again, do you have a testimony? You can preach your testimony. And another thing, as you're open-air preaching, people will gather around you and start dialoguing. They'll start asking you questions. That makes easy preaching there. You can start dialoguing, answering their questions back and forth. And they are bringing the subjects, and you can control it and give scriptural answers. Another thing they will do, they will accuse you of judging. As you're preaching, "Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit fornication." You know, the Bible says, "Be not deceived." The fornicators, the homosexuals, the liars, the thieves, the adulterers, they think that, they feel that preaching. They say, "You're judging us." And I just simply say, "No, I'm not. I'm simply preaching the word. I don't know who's a fornicator out here. I don't know who's an adulterer. But I am preaching the word." The word of God is actually bringing conviction into your heart. The word of God is bringing judgment up on your heart. I'm not, because I'm not here judging you, saying you're a fornicator, you're an adulterer. I'm not saying that. I'm just preaching the word of God. And so we're not judging. You know, they'll try to silence you with that. And so I'm not judging anybody when I simply preach the word of God. I'm simply, and I always tell them, you know, if I pick up a stone and throw it into a pack of dogs, the one that gets hit is the one that's going to yelp. And I said, and that's what's happening. The word of God is bringing conviction in your heart. And so those are some of the things that you will face. Also, they'll accuse you of preaching hate instead of love because you're preaching against sin. They don't want to be told what to do, and it doesn't make them feel good. In Acts chapter 4 there, we read, I think, some of their prayer. And listen to verse 25 and 26. This is their prayer, part of their prayer. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. They're quoting Psalms chapter 2 here in their prayer. And with that, I'm going to turn there, and it gives a little bit more detail of what preaching actually does. And that's why they were quoting it here. Psalms 2, verses 1 through 3. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. See what happens as you're preaching against sin in a group of people that love sin? The preaching of the word is binding cords around them that they don't like. And so it says, let us break the cords and cast them asunder. They don't want that cord. The word of God brings a cord and a band around them that it's getting a little bit uncomfortable. It's getting a little tight. And so the apostles here, they prayed that, used them verses in their prayers here. They were recognizing what was happening as they were out there open air preaching. And so, you know, it's sad, but in our society today, especially if you're out in the open air, some of the first people you're going to meet up with are homosexuals, and it's sad. They'll say, what's wrong with if two people want to love each other? And so you have to separate love from a physical relationship. There's nothing wrong with love. Love has no boundaries, but physical relationships have boundaries. And then I proceed to tell them that there's the Bible also talks about vile love. Romans chapter 1 talks about vile affections. There is wicked love, and that's where, and so we, yeah, I try to keep it short and sweet with them. But so I pass out tracts in the open air, too. I have a couple. About two main tracts I pass out, and the reason is a majority of tracts don't get read. They get pitched, majority of the tracts. And so I try to pick tracts that have a heading or a title. That's what will get read, and that's what needs to make a lasting impression. And so I have just two of them here. This one here I like because some of you have seen this one probably. Where will you be 5 minutes after you die? I get it from Christian Light, and it has a title on it that will make you think. And nobody likes that thought. And so even though they don't read the rest of the track, you know, they know what I was doing there, and they have that, and they associate the two together. And so that's one I have. And then the other one I like, this has been my favorite. How many of you are familiar with WWJD? What would Jesus do? Well, somebody took a tract, and who will Jesus destroy? A lot of people have a problem with it, but it's down to the point. It's all scripture on here. And I'm just going to share that this tract, I've had people stand in line asking for it. I've had people come up. Hey, one of my friends had one of those. Do you have more? Can I have one? It's the only tract that I've had people come up and ask for. And, you know, and it has a list of sins. It has the whole list found in Galatians chapter 5. And it has a scripture reference beside each one. And I can't tell you how many times I've two people are walking side by side. They're reading it, and I hear them say, "I'm number 4. I'm number 12. I'm number 18. I'm number 20." And they go on. I had one person come to me. He went and took it and read it, and he says, "I'm 18 out of 20." And so this has been my favorite, and I like it because it gets to the point and gets to the heart. And then on the back, it shares the gospel with people if they turn it over. And this one gets read. It does. People read it. I know that in the past there's brothers that don't like it. They feel it's too strong, but I like the one. So maybe a little testimony or do people get saved? There's people that I know that have gotten saved through open air. And then there's other people that we don't know of. One day, I was preaching at a festival in downtown Columbus a couple years ago. And, you know, we also use banners and things so people know that something's going on. There's three young girls came running to us, and they said, "We want to share something with you." They said, "We remember you from being at Columbus State University preaching, and while you were there in our classroom, there was a young we were the discussion of the classroom, by the way, instead of them having classes, and there was a young man in there vehemently opposing us." And so later, I don't know, it was the same day, another student that was a Christian in the class took him aside and actually able to lead him to the Lord, and yesterday we came, 6 months later, he died in a drowning accident, and we just came from his funeral yesterday, so we wanted to let you know that. And so there's testimonies like that out there, and they said at his funeral, which I know this is in the evangelical church, they said 23 more came to Christ because of his testimony and his changed life. And so where all that goes, we'll let it, you know, but God knows. And then another thing I want to encourage you in, as you're sharing, this is with all three methods, have confidence in the Word of God. Confidence. I don't know how many people get shaken by confidence. I mean, I've had people come tell me, "Your confidence, I can't shake." And it rattles them. It rattles them that you are so confident in the Word of God that they can't shake you. And so confidence is a huge thing if you're going to share the gospel. So you might be sitting here, "Where do I start?" Well, I encourage you, start somewhere, because I'll just use example. You know, when you, how many of you started your first day of work with a trade that you've never done before? I have. When I was 17 years old, I started at a local feed mill. How many of you went past a feed mill already and see the maze of pipes and elevators? And I mean, it's just hundreds, some of them. But when I started there, I was uneasy, didn't know what to expect. But at working there almost 3 years, I knew that place like the back of my hand. I knew which pipe went where up there. There was 20 pipes. I knew exactly where each one went. We had recipe cards, just like you ladies have in your house, with feed recipes on in a recipe box. Most of the people's recipes I had memorized because I did it so much. I became used to it. So if you simply start with the purpose, I want to share the gospel, it'll, you know, you'll get comfortable with it. But as long as, and then after 2.5, 3 years, I started a different job on a construction crew. That first day again, I felt nervous, didn't know what to do, what to expect. I didn't know a thing about construction. And, you know, today I can do practically anything, you know, with construction. And I just use that as an illustration that, you know, if you start, you'll get good at it. And so it's just, it's going to take a willingness to go and start and to overcome fear. And then I want to close with this. What does it do for yourself and your spiritual life? I'm sure I've heard many of you had went to New York City and everybody comes back, they're what? Excited, right? They're fired up. They're sharing about their experience there, experience about this. Look with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Here's Jesus sent out the 70, and it says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They were so excited. It says they returned with joy. And I have found my own life. It does something for your spiritual life by obeying this commandment. And the reason why, I believe it's the heart of God. We are here to further His kingdom. John 7:38 says, he that believeth as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. And sometimes I ask myself, do I really believe as the scripture saith? You know, if we would believe as the scripture saith, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. You can't help but speak the things that you have seen and heard. And I believe it would completely change a church if every member would press into this commandment. So like I said, Jesus gave us these three methods so everyone can be involved, whether man, woman, young man, young lady. We meet people every day. Do we take the opportunity? So I just want to close with that. And I pray I was helpful and to y'all sharing this. I did bring some extra tracts of these. If somebody wants some, they feel free to take some and look at it. And I'm open for correction on them too. I'll just lay them up here. If someone thinks they are too strong, I'm willing to hear. So.